over Egypt. The Holy Spirit gave Joshua military power. And one time the Spirit gave two unknown men the power to work in their crafts. The Holy Spirit gave words to the prophets to speak prophetically over God's people. And one time the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and gave him the power to lead in battle. In Judges, we find, as hard it is to believe, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power, and he literally tore apart a lion with his bare hands, as might he tore apart a young goat. It's pretty hard to get your head around that one. But 1 Samuel 10:6, the words of Samuel to Saul, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." Now, in the New Testament, you see the Holy Spirit everywhere, okay? In fact, Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus gave his life for our sins on the cross, the Bible says the Son of God was raised again, raised from the dead. What? How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised his followers that he'd send them a gift, that gift of the Holy Spirit. He actually said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The same Spirit is available for all who believe in Jesus. Now, how many of you would say, "I know someone who is a follower of Jesus, a Christian, okay, but they just seem to have more spiritual power than I do"? You sort of like look at them and you just, the way that they pray, you just go, "Wow, that was an incredible prayer. If I was God, I'd be answering that." You have a conversation with them and they're just quoting scripture after scripture after scripture, and you're like going, "I'm not much of a Christian, am I?" Sort of like, you know, how many of you know people that are like that? You've come across people that are like that. Okay, yeah. Sort of like we wonder, how is it that it seems that those people have got more power, more spiritual power than yourself? Well, the answer could be quite simply that maybe they do. Okay. In reality, I believe there are sometimes people that are more surrendered to the power, that is available by God through the Holy Spirit than other people are. Now, I'll explain this to you in this way. About 15 years ago, I had a tree in our backyard where we live that had come down. So, being a manly man, I thought I'd chop it up. Okay, all right. So out came the axe. Okay, just go with me on this. Now, this axe was my dad's axe, okay? It's about 20 years old and it hadn't been sharpened. I put on the gloves and I started to chop and chop and chop. And okay. Now, for those that don't know me that well, there are times when I can get very determined about something. And this was one of those times, all right? As far as I was concerned, I was going to chop up this tree. Now, after a couple of hours, okay, Julie came out. I remember this. She mightn't, but I do remember this, Julie. Okay. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, what does it look like?" Typical guy thing, all right? And, okay. But Julie, with her patience, okay, with me, reminded me that her dad was coming up and she would ring and get him to bring the chainsaw. And I'm like, okay, I hadn't thought about that. And later that day, when he did arrive, he started up the chainsaw and cut up the tree in about 20 minutes, and it probably would have taken me a couple of years to cut up with my blunt axe, all right? But Christians all around the world, they're putting on the gloves and they're saying, "I'm going to live the Christian life," and they're getting out the axe, okay? They're trying to do it in their own strength. They're striving, they're fighting, and they're battling, and they just don't seem to get very far. Why? Because they're trying to live the Christian life in their own strength when there's a greater power that's available. The Bible tells us this, and this is amazing, okay? In Romans 8:11, it is, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. We can be filled with the powerful Spirit of God and have the ability to live in a supernatural way in a very natural world. And yet, we love to put on the gloves, love to get out the blunt axe, and try to do it all ourselves. Bill Bright, who started Campus Crusade of for Christ in the US, said this, and I found this quote, I thought it was amazing. If I had the choice between sharing the gospel with a massive group of people who weren't Christians or teaching the concept of a spirit-filled life to a small group of people who were Christians, he'd choose the small group of Christians. Because the impact of that group of Christians filled with the Holy Spirit would be far greater than sharing with one large group. Christian pastor J.D. Greer, okay, he wrote a book called Jesus Continued. It's a great book. And he said this, the Christian life is not about what you do for God, but about what he does through you by the Holy Spirit. To me, one of the most astounding promises that Jesus ever made was when he said this, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. I mean, that statement alone sounds ridiculous on the surface. I mean, it must have been awesome to have Jesus beside you for 3 years like the disciples, you know, as their counselor, a helper. And now Jesus is saying, but guess what? You know, I go, well, that's going to work in your favor. I mean, imagine, okay, I'm standing up here and I announce that my time at this church has come to an end. All right? Okay. But good news. We've already gotten some resumes from a new pastor, and guess what? One of them is from Jesus. And he's going to be your new pastor. Okay? Now, I know that's far-fetched, but wouldn't you be excited about that? Okay? Wouldn't you be excited? But are you excited that you have the Holy Spirit in you as much as you'd be about Jesus being your pastor? He offers the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, last week I spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It's a profound moment for the first church. The church grew in incredible ways. And and we're going to be looking at that first church next week, just the incredible things that they did. But the first followers, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what about us, 2,000 odd years later? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? The New Testament gives a repeated command, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Ephesians 5:8 and 6, and other 5:18 and other places. But the best place to learn what it means is in the promises that Jesus gave to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. It's contained in John chapter 14 to 16. If you've never read it from John chapter 14 through to 16, I encourage you this afternoon. You know, so like just open your Bible on chapter 14, 15, and 16. These incredible promises. Because this records Jesus' final words to his disciples. So if it's his final words, you'd think he's got something important to say. You really would. Okay? But in these three short chapters, he brings up the Holy Spirit more than 20 times. 20 times. So how does the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do in and through our lives when we're filled with the Spirit? I mean, what's this all about? Well, a couple of thoughts for you this morning. Firstly, the Holy Spirit makes the presence of God real to us. John 14:18, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Right through the Bible, we see that God has always wanted to be with his people, to be present with them. In the Garden of Eden, right at the very beginning, he came down every evening and walked with him. In Exodus, you know, he came down to lead them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar by fire of night. Okay? And when he didn't do that, he still wanted his presence to be with them. And eventually they built a temple and the people said, our God dwells in the midst of us. The Israelites gave a name to God, which literally means the God who is here. The prophet Jeremiah said, this is God talking through him. And he wrote this down and God said, am I not a God who is near to you and not a God far away? Okay? Then the Messiah was born. The angels, said and called his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And now, Jesus said, by the Holy Spirit, he'll be closer than ever, God in us. John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. By the Holy Spirit, God himself will be present with us. As real and present with us as Jesus was with his disciples. Think about that for a moment. As real and present with us as Jesus was with his disciples. So, question. Is your experience as a follower of Jesus an experience? Presence of a real person connecting with you, moving in you, speaking in you? Is that your experience? Because living in the presence of a personal God is absolutely essential for living a thriving Christian life. You want victorious Christianity? It's not found in the stuff that you know. Okay, or having the right feelings about what's going on, it's found by abiding in the presence of a person, in the presence of Jesus. Secondly, the Holy Spirit makes the power of God come alive in us. John went, recorded these words that Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now this analogy, it describes natural growth, okay? But natural growth, of something is very different than mechanical growth, right? Mechanical growth is a building. You don't just plant a brick and come back a bit later and find a building, okay? You don't do that. Natural growth is you plant a seed. The kind of change God works in us by his Spirit. That's natural growth, okay? And a lot of people don't get this. They don't get this. We try to build our faith, our Christian life in a mechanical way. How do we do? Oh, you've got to add these things. I've got to do this, got to do that. I spoke on camp about this. I've got to pray. I've got to attend that prayer group. I've got to read the Bible. I've got to memorize Scripture. And I've got to do all that at the first light because there's one verse in the whole of Scripture that says Jesus got up early in the morning, so I better do that. But hear this clearly. There is nothing wrong with those things. It's good to pray. It's good to attend the prayer meetings. It's good to read your Bible. But that needs to happen in a natural way. Not a mechanical way, not a forced way. Religious rituals are often mechanical substitutes for genuine growth. Now, to use the words of, get ready for this, Bono, the lead singer from U2. He said this, religion is what happens when the spirit has left the building. Do you want to know how to live a victorious Christian life? It's learning the secret of Christ in you. I love how Paul puts it in Colossians where he says this, Christ in you, the hope of glory in us. Many Christians see the Christian life as something that they're doing for God. But eventually they get tired, they give up. It's not Christ in me. It becomes after a while, it's just me. They're striving, they're trying to do all this. It's a bit like you're wrestling, okay, and you're in tag team wrestling. For those that don't watch wrestling on TV and you're probably wondering what on earth I'm talking about, for those that know it, all right, fair enough. But if you're watching wrestling, you know, and you're a tag team, basically, it's like you're in the ring with the flesh and the devil, and basically Jesus is coming off the top rope and he's going to give the Roman road, I don't know, whatever, okay? But it's not Christ in me. What I was talking about, if you're trying to wrestle, it's like that saying, it's Christ and me. But Paul says, no, it's Christ in me. It's Christ in me, okay? And Jesus has one word for that. In John 15, abide. Abide. Abide in me, in my love, like a branch in a tree, and let my life flood through you. In Romans 8, great chapter, okay? On how to live a victorious Christian life. It refers to the Holy Spirit some 22 times in one chapter. To put that in perspective, Paul mentions the Holy Spirit only 10 other times throughout the entire other 15 chapters of Romans. Okay? But the implication is clear. If you want victory over our sinful flesh, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? You abide. That's how you do it. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit makes the mission of God personal to us. Jesus said, okay, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, you will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. That is a staggering promise. Greater works? Anyone here ever done things like Jesus? You know, raise the dead, preach with greater clarity. You know, how do we do this? Well, quick theology lesson here, theology lesson, okay? I think our works are greater in two ways. Firstly, they're greater in the sense that every one of Jesus' miracles pointed to his ability to save us. That's what was pointing towards. But the second way that they're greater is they're greater in their range. Okay, when Jesus was on earth, the Holy Spirit focused his ministry on one individual. Now, he's in every believer. In every believer. The collective impact of ordinary Christians filled with the Spirit would be far greater than even if he stayed. Christian service, your ministry, about figuring out what Jesus wants to do through you. You see, not everything that comes from heaven has your name on it. Doesn't. Not everyone receives every gift. Okay, that's the reality. You know, if you did the whole mission of what Jesus is trying to encourage us to be involved in, it is too big for one individual. But our responsibility, your responsibility, is to figure out what the Holy Spirit has put your name on and let him do it through you. Service for Jesus is not just about doing a bunch of stuff for God, but it's yielding yourself to him and letting him to continue to work through you. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If you're breathing, which I hope you all are, he's still got something for you to do. You're still involved in his ministry. You're still involved in his service. Find out what that is. God ideas. He puts ideas in you by his Spirit that he wants only you to do for him. Find out what that is. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to share about Jesus boldly. Okay, Jesus said this. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. We are to testify about Jesus. Okay? Now testify, that can be in words and actions. And so often we hear about actions, show love. But what about words? The Holy Spirit empowers us to share using words about Jesus. I mean, Paul says this. Okay, in 1 Corinthians he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. I'm not the best speaker around, basically, you know. But my message came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but instead on God's power. So Paul's saying, I'm not the most eloquent speaker, but when you saw me show up, the power of the Holy Spirit, you knew it was there. And I can tell you quite honestly, that's what I rely on every week, okay? I believe with everything in me, I am not the smartest person by far. I'm not. But God can take my words and by the power of His Holy Spirit, customize them in a way that would speak directly into your life. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, when I was 22 and I gave one of my first messages, I can remember an old lady that came up to me. And she said, because I was in that age, she said, young man, that sermon wasn't half bad. I said, okay. I tried to be humble and I said, thank you. It was actually the Holy Spirit. It was all the Holy Spirit. She said, young man, if it was all the Holy Spirit, it would have been really good. There's probably truth in that, okay? All right. But if you've ever felt uncomfortable, underqualified, not good enough to share your faith, I understand that. I really do. One time I was sharing with a group of kids on a summer mission program, okay? I thought I'd done a really horrible job of sharing the story about Jesus to these kids, okay? If someone had been at the back grading me that day, I think I would have got an F. It was really, really bad. It was terrible. I was all over the place and everything like that. But right at the end of it, one of the kids came up and said, Andrew, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I'm like, wow! That was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. And that same power is available if we trust Him. This week, you watch. In a conversation, maybe you're going to feel prompted that person needs God and you've got an opening. Don't hesitate. Follow the promptings of the Spirit. I think you'll be amazed at what can happen. Okay, you might be in the middle of the conversation and you could be quoting this Bible verse and you might be going, oh, I didn't even know that I knew that. And you just need to go back to the Bible and look it up to make certain it's in there, okay? But why? Because that's the Holy Spirit that's giving you those words to say. The Holy Spirit coming upon you in power to give you the power to share Jesus boldly. Fifthly, the Holy Spirit will give you power when you're weak. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. In the midst of a storm, we have the promise of peace. How? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So don't stress. God's promises are there to help us and empower us. Now, I am not saying that this is easy. I've been through those storms just like everyone else, and it is hard. But this is the promise that we have in Scripture. Don't stress about things. Now, I'm going to give a random example. Growing up, I wasn't very good at English at school, okay? I was good at maths. That was the thing that I was better at. But when it came to English, I was like, okay, my grade was just like 51%, you know, basically. I just scraped through writing essays. I was just terrible at it. I just couldn't get it, okay? But history, you know, sort of like, I used to ace history with multiple choice questions because I could remember all that useless facts and stuff like that, okay? But writing an essay, no way. God has a sense of humor. And I know that personally. Why? Well, every week I'm writing a 4,000-word essay, okay? How? It is not my natural ability in English. I can tell you that right now, okay? This is something that the Holy Spirit does in my weakness. And I believe with everything in me that whenever you are weak today, if you are feeling weak, the Holy Spirit can make you strong. Make you strong. Maybe you're a parent and you're going, I don't know what I'm going to do with these kids. They're just too much. The Holy Spirit can give you wisdom. Ask Him. Maybe you've got sin in your life that you're just struggling to overcome something. You've been trying to do it yourself and you just can't. The Holy Spirit can give you power when you are weak. Call on Him. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians. You know, Paul was really struggling with something. It was, you know, it's compared to complaining about a thorn in his life. And he's saying, God, take it away, take it away. And here's what God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For where I am weak, then I am strong. May that be our words. Sixth, we're getting there, right? The Holy Spirit will give you power to have hope in a hopeless world. Oh, do we need this? Romans tells us this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people today, we've got limited hope. You know, we're not overflowing with hope. You know, we've got limited hope. Okay? If you put your hope in something beside God, you're going to have limited hope. If you put your hope in yourself, you're going to have limited hope. If you put your hope in other people, you're still going to have limited hope. Okay? If you put your hope in your circumstances are only going to take you so far. Our hope is limited because it's not put in an unlimited God. The good news is, though, if you put your hope in God, He can cause you to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're hurting today, if you're afraid, put your hope in God. Let Him overflow in your life with joy and hope by the Spirit. If you find yourself worried about tomorrow, put your hope in God. Let the Holy Spirit be your comforter. If you've lost someone that you love, as much as it hurts, we don't have to grieve like those who have no hope, because we can put our hope in God and the promise of the resurrection and glory eternally in heaven. If you're hurting today, just put your hope in God, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Last point. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience all the fullness of God. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Sometimes we reduce our Christianity to the lowest common denominator. Basically, Christianity is like this. Yeah, I believe in God, you know. Do the Jesus thing, you know, pray every, maybe, I don't know, just, you know, once, okay, check that box, okay. Maybe I got baptized, yeah, okay, tick that box. You know, join a church, struggle to get up for Sunday mornings, but yeah, I'll get there. I read the Bible every so often, you know, I've got a few paper versions up on this bookcase, but, you know, yeah, so I read it every so often. You try to be a good person. And when you look at lives of a lot of Christians, you can often see that they just look exactly the same as people around in the world that aren't followers of Jesus. Okay? They're still hurting, still filled with worry, still broke, still struggling, got no real faith, no real victory. Why? There's no power. No power. So many people don't really understand who God is, what He has for us. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience all the fullness of God. Paul prayed for the believers in Ephesus, and I pray this for our church family. He prayed this. I pray that out of His glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power. So where does that power come from? Power through the Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Why? Because we need it. That you may may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses the knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you just fill us? Would you touch us? Would you move really in this place this morning? Would you just empower us to live extraordinary, Spirit-filled lives? We ask that you rule and you reign. Help us to overcome our flesh, to just surrender fully to you. May we please you and live for you in every way. God, help us to be hungry for you. Help us to realize our need for you. And help us to see the ways that maybe we've been trying to rely on our own power to do things. Maybe those, when we're relying on our own strength. God, we want to give that to you. Holy Spirit, do only what you can do. Fill us, change us. May we be immersed in the power of your Spirit. And Lord, when we are weak, we pray that your strength would be made perfect in us. I pray for those this morning. Maybe you're struggling. You're struggling to share your faith. Lord, just come upon those people boldly. Come upon them boldly by the power of your Spirit. God, for those that are hurting this morning, give them a supernatural hope that is overflowing by the power of your Spirit. And at this moment, just Holy Spirit, just comfort them. At this moment, may they experience you. At this moment, just God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would break strongholds. Even those that maybe we've been trying to do things ourselves, Lord, help us to know you'll give us the strength to be strong when we are weak. Lord, more than anything, help us to abide in you. Help us to yield to you. Lord, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit. Spirit that you promised that is greater than your presence, because it is you in us. Lord, help us to let go and let you in to every aspect of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Abide, yield, trust. I think I struggle with the yield bit the most in my life, and thanks Andrew for that reminder. And yeah, let's abide, let's yield, yes, let's trust, and let's get that hope that God promises. So let's stand and sing Abide to close our service today.
I depend on you.
You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Where the Spirit leads, as I'm following, I depend on you. I depend on you for the victories still in front of me. I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. When I pass through death, as I enter rest, I depend on you. I depend on you.